The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Good morning, everybody. Terry Raposa here with Wynn Carpenter. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, broadcasting live from downtown Reading.
Mine.
At KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, we are your local talk radio. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. We are archiving forever and
ever.
And
amen.
Yeah, we are. We're doing all of that.
Yes, sir.
So welcome to our continuing soiree of liberty. And I have a question, Lynn.
Nope.
How much crazier can California get? I just have a question about that because, what is it, 2030 we can no longer have gasoline-powered vehicles? Are we all going to be on bicycles? What are we doing here?
I could not tell you.
I mean, the insanity of this state. And, you know, I'm excited about the fact that, as most of us are in the world of conservatism, that Donald Trump's our president, and we now have a position in the executive branch as our president of someone who will enforce Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution, because the federal government has jurisdiction over what, when?
Oh, what the states give them.
And in this case, it was immigration, wasn't it?
Immigration, yes.
So being in a position where you are, you have jurisdiction over immigration. However, San Diego, as of last week, their last supervisor meeting, decided to become a super sanctuary county. Not just a sanctuary county, but a super one.
So they want to go super deep into the toilet?
Super, I guess. You know, they want to be a super one. And
they're going
since
straight to the septic tank is where they're
going.
Yeah. Okay. Or in their case, out to sea. They have a pipe that, you know, they've got a pipe going from the city about 10 miles out, and they drop their sewage there. Yep. Kind of like San Francisco does.
It's unbelievable. And, I mean, California, you know, we do have President Trump coming in, but we really have to remember that California is not going to be changed just because President Trump's in there. Will he help? Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. Because he gives us that advantage of, first of all, confidence. You know, but when, as we go back to local government, and you ran for the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County, and during your time there, I know that you really, there was a lot of issues you saw in the county and in the state. Was there anything in particular that really stood out to you to where you were just kind of scratching your head and going, man, what is it, what is this, how can we possibly be going down that road? Did anything ever stick out to you?
When the staff is running against what the Board of Supervisors is coming up with and the plans that the supervisors have, and then the Board of Supervisors vote on it, whether it's 3-2, 4-1, or 5-0, and the staff doesn't do what they're supposed to do at the discretion and direction of the Board of Supervisors, to me that's insubordination. And when that happens, those staff members should immediately be relieved of their duties and of their employment with the county. I'm sorry, any other job in the world, you would not do that. If you tell your boss no, you give him the middle finger, you tell him to go pound sand, whatever, your fanny's on the unemployment line. So I would say that was one of the biggest things that I saw numerous times, and it was very frustrating because I used to be a county employee, and I never would have done that, ever. And the people that, the great people that I worked with in the office that I worked in would never do that. And so I know how, what the, I guess what the character of the office that you work in, and it's not just by who the leadership of the office is. That's not it at all. It's the people that actually do the work. And there's a lot of really good people in the county that work here, and you know they're doing their best with the job. They're whether they enjoy it or not, I don't know, but they're doing bang up jobs. And it's not them. It's not them that's doing that. It's the others that are causing problems. Some of the leaders in some of these departments, and if you will, or the management, or whatever you want to call them, supervisors, what have you. And it just was very disheartening to see that. I knew it was prevalent. I didn't know it was as bad as it was.
Like you didn't think that the ROV office would accept a grant that the Board of Supervisors had changed and accepted in its...
And there are 175 emails as proof.
Unbelievable.
As proof. And there are still employees working
for the
county. Vice
Francesca's still there.
That's exactly
it. I can tell you why. I found out.
Oh, really?
Because the way I understand it... Because
the board doesn't have... they don't have a jurisdiction over that.
They can't fire her. It would have to be Toller who'd fire her.
Yeah.
Okay, and
then they can't fire Toller either.
No, they cannot.
Mm-hmm. He's an elected official, so he has to be recalled or ran against in 2 years. So guess what? Two more long years of this garbage?
Yep.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. A lot of people say, the Board of Supervisors, no, they can't. Well, he's appointed. No, he's not appointed. It's like any other appointment that becomes an elected or an elected official the minute they're appointed.
Yeah.
You know, your jurisdiction doesn't change because you can appoint somebody.
That's correct.
And so that was the thing, and that's always been an argument. No, they can't do anything. So now what they should do in the charter is they should, in the charter of Shasta County, they should put in there that the CEO of the county has jurisdiction over hiring and firing, as far as a say-so, over especially firing and relieving someone of their duties if they're any kind of county official.
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, just because you're a staffer or you work for the ROV office, you shouldn't have a free pass on whatever you do if the ROV officer, like Toller, is dependent on you. And I'm talking about Joanna.
Right.
So, you know, they should put that in the charter. So, you know, and I don't know if Kevin Cry is listening to this or not. I know he pre-recorded, but he did make mention of the SCRA not endorsing him. That's the Shasta County Republican Assembly. Now, I didn't join the assembly till after they did the endorsement with about the who they were endorsing for the different supervisor districts and stuff.
And they were doing things a little differently than they are now.
Well, that's true. And even though, so I'm not really sure what happened there or why he didn't get the endorsement or whatever. I'm not sure. And they did support the recall. Maybe they did. But I don't think they didn't endorse him just because they were being mean-spirited.
No, they weren't.
I think, you know, there was a lot going on there. I think that...
They have a checklist of how they endorse people.
Exactly.
And why they endorse people.
Right, but I don't think it was a moral issue.
And they stick to it, which, you know, hats off to them.
Yeah.
Got to give them credit for that because they don't veer off of it at all.
Right, but I don't think it was a moral issue because...
No.
Not with Kevin Cry. I mean, you know. So I don't know what it was. Maybe they did support him as far as not being recalled.
Correct.
So maybe they didn't. So I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know how they may have been. Maybe he's talking about the SCRA way back when he originally ran for district.
And that's probably when it happened.
Maybe that's when that's what he's talking about. But it was confusing in hearing his program today.
That was about the right. That was about the time when they were just getting started.
Yeah.
So they had some very stringent protocol as far as who they would endorse and who they would invite into the meetings and so forth.
And maybe they just didn't know him well enough.
And that could be.
I don't know.
To them, he may have been an unknown.
Yeah,
so.
I wasn't on the SCRA then. Did he go in and speak? Do you remember? I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did go and speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was when he was originally running. Well, that's where the confusion is.
Okay.
Okay, I think. Because it kind of sounded
it's
like...
It's only been two long years.
You think?
Jeez. Yeah.
You know, and the thing, you know, like, you know, we all talk about Toller and all that stuff. I mean, that just, when he made the comment at the Board of Supervisors, meaning Tom Toller, that he didn't want to poke the bear, I just, That just sounds like he has little tiny.
Yes.
Yes.
Very poke tiny. The bear.
I'm being careful about what I'm saying for our producer, Dave.
Poke the bear, stab the bear, slap the bear, whatever you got to do. We are in the state of the bear. The bear is on our flag. Poke that bear.
Yeah, poke that bear. I mean, it's just unbelievable how...
Don't be such a sissy.
Oh, that's a great word.
I'm sorry, I just... if you're not going to do the job, then why in the heck are you there, and why are we paying you such a huge salary? Are you kidding?
Well, we're stuck with him for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, we'll get somebody else in there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that I think the pressure really has to be if all these people are breaking the law, so to speak, and not adhering to their position, like accepting a grant without the changes that were voted upon and legal changes that were being made to how that was going to look, that grant from Zuckerberg,
mm-hmm.
by the Board of Supervisors with a unanimous vote, and then them doing it anyway, and with Francesca being complicit, I mean, I can't even see,
If that isn't insubordination, I don't know what is. Because they knowingly and willingly participated in this email chain with the county attorneys at the time, who are no longer here because, you know what, they could see the writing on the wall. And the long arm of the law could reach out and get them still and tap them on the shoulder. They should be disbarred. All these other things should happen. And so why are we still allowing a staff member to be employed by the county, making a great salary at our expense, and doing exactly this? They're going to do it as long as they can, and apparently we're going to allow it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody has jurisdiction that has the stones to, to stand up and say, hey, you know, what you did was wrong and you're gone. You know, I think that is moving forward the way California is looking right now, especially with this new situation in San Diego County, which I'm just appalled by. Somewhere along the line, the people down in Southern California have to start getting a little bit upset about what's going on. Orange County had a situation where Trump lost, but Steve Garvey won. Now, help me out with that. Someone help me out with that. How does Trump lose and Garvey win? And Garvey got more votes than Trump did in the county. Somebody help me out with that.
Yeah, we had similar situations up here. Yeah. So, you know, you think about that. How do they have all the votes for the president, but it takes us a month and a half to get the rest of the, well, I shouldn't say that. It took a lot longer to get the rest of the votes for the local races. They're much smaller races. What the heck?
What, P and Q.
I don't understand all of that stuff when people are doing that kind of stuff. I don't understand with the counting of it. I have not gone into the ROV office on purpose because I did not want to be ragingly inflamed with anger on watching what's going on, because I've been hearing it from all these people that I know and trust that have been watching like bulldogs and documenting like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And hats off to every single one of them for doing that. I appreciate everything that they do, but I know myself too well that I would just get more angry and frustrated and feel more helpless on not being able to do anything.
Dave, what were you saying there, buddy?
I was saying P and Q. Those results were the strangest ones to me. How would you want government? I don't understand how people voted on those the way they did.
Well,
I don't know how.
Explain.
I just don't understand why those lost. It seems like people want less government around here, but they didn't stop the eminent domain.
Well, it wasn't eminent domain as much as it was you couldn't benefit one private party with the eminent domain by the sacrifice of another private party. That was kind of what the measure was, and that was to stop, you know, a guy in this business getting the city or the county to say, hey, you know, you need to help out this shopping center this guy wants to build, you know.
Okay.
And it's that's kind of where it went. I mean, I don't like any part of eminent domain. And when you talk to Mama Jefferson, Janet, we miss you, darling. She's not here today, really sleek and snowy up there in Bernie. So she's sitting back probably just rising and maybe having a little hot chocolate and a cookie.
Yeah, Hatchet looked a little
nice
messy.
Nice and warm.
Yeah, Hatchet looked a little messy this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. It was icy when she went home the other day. So anyway, yeah, getting back to that, I mean, I can't stand eminent domain. I don't like any part of it. I don't like any part of it. I mean, you know, unless that offer is really going to be something that's going to be a great offer. You know, it should come in at least 20% over market value, I would think.
Were you surprised by those results?
For P&Q? With everything going on, frankly, with everything going on in Shasta County, I was surprised by the measures. You know, we're worried about something like that when we have an ROV office that is can't get the elections even done.
Mm-hmm.
We have an ROV office that's in a mess. We have things being done by staff without the consent of the legislative body, which is the county. We have rampant crime. We have fraud going everywhere. We have a state that has been horrible in everything they've done. We have a charter where we could, as a county, put in resolutions and pass ordinances, which, by the way, Laura Hobbs has about 7 or 8 of them that look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Some new ordinances. We have all that stuff, and we're talking about eminent domain. So to me, I kind of thought, okay, well, I don't like it either, but good heavens. I mean, with everything going on, this is important. Why is that? Why was that even important at this point? I mean, what was, anybody have an answer out there of why that would be something to where we really need to have a measure so that John can't get Sam's property by using the Board of Supervisors? Is that happening somewhere?
Did it happen with the Wind River, the land, the driveway?
And that's why he did it to appease?
I don't know.
I mean, okay, but that happened. They went to court, that happened. They're going to figure that out. I'm with you, Dave. I don't know. I mean...
Well, the big thing is how these things are written. You have to write them for a third grader. We have to do that. You have to keep it simple. Not saying that constituents are third graders. I'm not saying that at all. But if you keep it simple, keep it basic, keep it direct, and just focus on the issue and not put in all this other flowery language, people will understand it better. They will either agree or disagree or vote for it or not, or vote against it. So you have to put it in there so that it's easy to understand. So when they're going through the motions of reading the stuff, because a lot of people don't even do that. They just vote yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. Just, you know, being, I don't know, a lot of people do that.
And what was the other one?
The other one was where a governor would appoint someone and not have a special election if there was a recall. Is that right?
A vacancy.
A vacancy.
Vacancy of any kind. Death, quit, recall, what have you.
If there was a vacancy, then there would be a special election as opposed to the governor.
Okay. Well, I have a question about that. Maybe someone can answer this, or I don't know. Dave, you got a phone in there. Maybe you can look it up for us, buddy, or Wynn, you can look it up for us.
You look it up.
Because I don't have a phone.
Oh, that's right. You have a flip phone.
I have a dumb phone. I have my non-traceable. Maybe Sally can look it up. She has my smartphone. Of course, Sally's a lot smarter. No say anything, Wynn. Okay.
Goes without saying.
So anyway, so you have, okay, if in fact we have this measure to where, is it, does it say the governor shall appoint or will appoint, or does it say the governor may appoint? What does it say in the law? Anybody know? Well, shall, may, anybody know?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. So if somebody has the answer to that, let's have the answer to that, because that's my question. So, okay, let's have a measure on something where the guy may or shall or could or has the option to. Maybe he has the option to.
Well,
I'm not saying that's a bad measure. I'm just saying that with everything going on, is that really the hill we want to die on?
Well, the big thing, what we need to do, truly, is to audit. Since we had two elections this year, we need to audit both elections. And I'm not saying that the ROV audits those. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
I'm saying there's got to be an elections audit team out there somewhere in the world, right?
An independent.
Independent.
Yeah.
They come in, they do their job. They don't get handed anything, any preconceived ideas about anything. They just get handed the material, or they have access to the material, whatever it may be, whether it's on a computer, whether it's on a piece of paper, legitimate piece of paper or illegitimate piece of paper, whatever it may be. They need to go through and audit both elections, the primary and the general, and see where we really stand and come up with the numbers and see if they're really accurate, if they're right on, what have you. We need to do that. How come we don't do that? We audit budgets. We well, we're supposed to audit budgets. I'm not sure how much auditing they're doing here. And I'm talking forensic audit. I'm not talking just your basic, you know, debit and credit. Okay, yeah, it balances. I'm not talking that. I'm talking forensically. We need to do that because what comes with a forensic audit? The penalty of crime and prosecution if they're found guilty on doing any tampering. That can put you in the big house. So those are the kind of things that we need to do to clean things up, to set the tone so people understand, hey, there's a penalty for messing up. And or whether you do it, if you do it on purpose, absolutely. If something's done accidental or unknowingly, that's a different story. And if you can prove that, that's okay. However, I'm not saying it's okay that it happens. I'm just saying you have to be able to prove it. But if you're doing it intentionally, you're as bad as all the bad guys we've ever talked about in the past. So that needs to be done. We need to have a forensic audit on the primary and the general elections of 2024. And if we can go back even farther, let's go back even farther. But apparently they like to get rid of all the records within 22 months to the day of any election occurring. And they dispose of them. So do we even have that information? I don't know. But we do have the 24 election data and information, so they need to get on it immediately to get it done.
Amen to that. By the way, we have Mama J on the line, who's probably under a blanket eating a Christmas cookie for dessert.
Oh,
is that what you're doing? Ho, ho, ho.
How well you know me. Well, there's no reason for me to get out of bed when I can just turn on my television and put it on the radio show. So it works very well. Some comments I have to make, and I'm glad that you talked about Trump being president, but that doesn't solve California. There's only one group of people that can solve California, and that's California people. And it may be that the only way we can solve that problem is by splitting the state.
Amen.
Obviously, we're never going to defeat the coastal areas of California. So let's just split the state. Let's have coastal California, North California, Central California, and South California. And San Diego County better realize that immigration does not come under the Constitution as a power of the states. It's the federal government. And should Trump's attorney general so decide, he could make arrests of anybody in South California down there in San Diego County who is not abiding by the Constitution, which gives immigration powers to the federal government.
Yeah, and now that we have an attorney general that may do that, that's a great point. And you're right. I mean, it's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 of the United States Constitution. We started out the program by talking about that, how we as the states gave the power over immigration. We delegated that to the federal government. We can take it back if we have an amendment and all that procedure goes. But the point is that you're right about every bit about that. I think that, you know, one of the things that we're looking at is there's so many people that just, you know, Trump's been elected, I know, let's go have a barbecue, you know.
And that's not the case.
That's
all
right.
He has done is open up the gate for us to start pouring through to get our agendas done. He can't do it for us. We can. Which brings me to another point, and that was the eminent domain.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, but I want to hear that. You've probably got the idea I was trying to prompt you. I know that's a hot button for you. Eminent domain
is indeed.
I knew it would, but I wanted to wait until you were done with your first cup of hot chocolate, you know.
Oh, yes, of course, and my second cookie.
So with that, because we want to bring Janet back on, I want to talk about eminent domain, want to bring her back on. She has some definite thoughts on that. If you have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. This is Jefferson State of Mind, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Redding Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2025 Kias at Redding Kia. Test drive a 2025 Kia Sorento today. Tis the season of new tradition sales event at Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Won the Republican nomination. Tracy did. That was first. Welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind.
Mind.
Yep. I think that was one of the songs on the Hallmark Channel movie we watched last night. Sal and I did.
Oh, okay.
She feels I need to have a good crying jag every two or three days.
Get hold of your sensitive side.
It did. And, you know, the thing is that last night they almost kissed before the end of the program.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That would ruin the whole plot. Yeah,
you know, they somehow shook hands. And, yeah. Anyway, it just brings a tear to my eyes.
That you had to endure it?
Oh, I did. No, they're not bad. I mean, you know, it's sometimes things like that are nice when it comes to everything that we go through in our lifetime. And talking about that, okay, there, blanket lady with hot cocoa and cookie in your hand. We're on with Janet Chandler. And
yeah. What better way to start a Sunday morning?
No better way. There, and we've all heard that gentle side of Mama Jefferson. We've heard the gentle side. Now she's going to talk about eminent domain. So everybody get in, hold on, and shut up. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. Well, first I must say that my favorite sweatshirt for Christmas says on it, "All I want to do is bake stuff and watch Christmas movies." So let's not knock the Hallmark stuff, okay?
There you go.
Okay. The federal Constitution very clearly gives us the right to property. It does say the right to pursuit of happiness, but then it also comes in later and says the right of property. Well, how can I, in good conscience, tell anybody that you have the right to property if I have the right to take it away from you through eminent domain. And I find that to be a fault in the federal constitution, but I understand why they did it. Times were different. But in our Jefferson Constitution, I fought very vociferously and hard to keep out eminent domain, and I lost. The majority of the people who were at the convention approving the Constitution voted to keep eminent domain under restricted circumstances in there. But as far as I am concerned, if the government at any time, for any reason, can take your property away from you, even if they compensate you for it, then you do not have the right to property. And I am totally against eminent domain by the government.
Yeah, I remember having this discussion, and I have to say I kind of hang there right with you.
Ditto.
Yeah, the three of us kind of hang there. But anyway,
But the thing is, the Constitution hasn't gotten to the point of being ratified, so guess what? Prior to that, things can change.
Oh, I'll continue to fight, because
amen.
I cannot say we have the right to property if the government can take your property away and build a hospital or a public building or whatever. But remember that under the state of Jefferson, there will be a minimal amount of public properties.
Right.
Because we are not going to have 576 agencies in the state of Jefferson that need homes.
Right.
Yeah, let me ask you this. This is something, since you have probably access to information, and I have a flip phone on me. you know, executive orders, that's something that really is a pain. I keep hearing about, well, Trump's going to do an executive order to get rid of machines. Trump's going to do an executive order to do this. Trump is going to do an executive order to do that. And I'm tired of hearing people who are pundits that have 12 and 15 million people listening to them by telling people basically things that are just not true. Article 1, Section 4, the United States Constitution, the supreme law of the land for everybody. The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress, not the president, not through executive orders, but the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations except as to the places of choosing senators. Well, think about that a minute. So how does an executive order defy Article 1, Section 4? How does it defy that? How can we have, I'm just tired of hearing all the stupid stuff of people who are out there telling millions of people all these things that just are not going to come to fruition. Donald Trump cannot solve all the problems we have in California. He definitely can lead us on the road toward that. And as you were saying, he can give us that liberty, that freedom, to where we can enjoy that enthusiasm. He's like a good coach motivating the team.
Well, when you're frustrated with us, because these ignorant people that happen to have a platform that they can use to expose people to misinformation, lies, whatever, they're using it. And what do they know? Do they not know what they don't know? Or are they doing it on purpose? What's the real story?
I find that people are not dumb. They're ignorant. Remember that we do have three branches of government, and each of them has specific jobs that they are to perform. And Article 2 tells the president what he can do and what his obligations are. And he can make executive orders for any obligation for which he has been given. Remember, too, that he is called the executive branch. He executes the laws that Congress has passed. So if they pass a law, then he can sign an executive order putting that law into effect. That's his job. But that's as far as he can go.
Right.
He can't just make an executive order out of thin air that has nothing to do with legislation that's already been passed by Congress. And remember, too, particularly when Obama was in office, he passed a bunch of executive orders obligating us to international treaties. But they did not have the force of effect because they were not treaties approved by the Senate, and as soon as Obama was out of power, all of those things fell apart. So even our branches of government have to abide by the rules. They can't just go out there and freelance.
But some of them are freelancing, and that's the problem. How do we hold them accountable?
Well, we don't elect them again, or we are very vocal and in our opposition, or you can go to your senator and create pressure. But of course, in California, that doesn't do any good because
Right. Obviously
Schiff does not hear the people.
You know, and many of the things in Article, like you're referring to Article 2, Section 2, Article 1, Section 2 of the, excuse me, you're not referring to that at all. You're referring to Article 2, Section 2.
Which outlines the powers of the executive branch.
Well, yeah, and but the thing I'm trying to say is that he has the power with a lot of this stuff with the advice and consent of the Senate. Now, he has to have the advice and consent of the Senate. That's Section 2, Clause 2. And that's with treaties and many other things, ambassadors, appointing, all that sort of stuff. So a lot of the position of the executive branch, where people are assuming that he has the power, he only has that power with the consent of the Senate. And we're just not, you know, and until we start understanding that the president, as much as we, you know, many of us respect and love and think that Donald Trump's a great president, he doesn't have plenary power. And that's exactly what you're referring to. He doesn't have plenary power.
And that's done by design.
Yeah, it's done by design. And you're 1,000,000,000% right. I mean, you know, that's the thing. We really have to have something to where we're really pursuing some of these pundits that are saying things that are just so far out of line.
You have full networks, you know, covering the election, and it's, you know, 2024 democracy.
Yeah.
That just, it goes against everything we stand for. We are a republic.
Well, again, it's ignorance, ignorance, not stupidity or dumbness, just ignorant. They don't know what the rules of the game are. Then why are they trying to play the game?
And it's done by design, though. That's the problem. That's the part that kills me. They're doing it on purpose.
I don't think they're doing it out of ignorance. We need to be more proactive
at the ballot box.
I get that ballot box effect, but when you're looking at television networks, major television networks, that are supposed to be friendlies,
right,
and they have the big old word of democracy across there, it just goes against everything I stand for. It's like, no, we are a republic.
And well, of course, but look at their ratings.
They're huge.
Well, yeah, I think what Wynn's trying to make the point of is that, and you're right. You're saying that's the reason why they get higher ratings.
No, they have lower ratings.
No,
that's not what he's saying.
I'm talking Fox. Fox News.
Go ahead, Wynn.
Had the word. Welcome to the prime time, whatever, 2024
democracy
coverage and stuff like that. It's like, wait a minute. What about the republic? Aren't we a republic? And every once in a while, somebody will come on there and talk about being a republic, but they don't address the very word that's sitting right above them that says democracy when they're talking about being a republic.
I consider Fox to be just mainstream media light.
Well, I mean, I've heard people say that millions of people listen to on podcasts about the democracy. I've heard that being mentioned by everybody. You know, but, you know, the thing is that, and then treason. Oh, you know, let's get this guy for treason. You know, treason is the wrong word for a lot of this stuff. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. That's what treason is.
Well, they're still calling January 6th an insurrection, which is ludicrous.
Well, my point, the left is, but the thing is the right are the ones who are talking about treason. that, you know, this guy's treason, that's treason, this is treason. Again, Section 3, Article 3, United States Constitution. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. That's treason. The rest of the stuff that the left is doing, mm-hmm. and Biden and Newsom, that's insurrection and sedition. Not to say that that isn't punishable by, it could even be the same means as treason, but we keep saying everybody is doing, they're not. It's like aiding and abetting the enemies. Who's our enemy? Is China really our enemy? We trade with them. We have their tourism all over the place. What, they're buying houses in our country.
They're buying land, farmland throughout the nation.
Well, in order to be an enemy, you could argue that they would have to have actually declared war against them, and that makes them our enemy. So if we have not declared war, then can you truly consider them to be an enemy?
And the president can't declare war, only Congress can.
That's right.
That's true.
So I, that's...
We're talking about presidential edicts and whatever. If you look at Section 2 of Article 2, the president is commander-in-chief. And he can sign any executive order he wants concerning the military because he's the commander-in-chief. So that would be a valid use of an executive order because he's given that power. But when Obama tried to sign us up for climate change and all of these treaties, things that were supposed to be going on in Europe, they ended with the end of his presidency because he really didn't have the power to do it. They were never approved by the Senate.
Wow.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, yeah, you're right.
And
yeah,
that's how they went away.
Right. Well, the thing,
into office.
But see, again, it's not the left that we're having the problem with here. It's not the left that we're having. Yeah, they're lying and all the other stuff, but it's the right that's teaching people and giving them false hope on things.
Well, the problem is the people who are not taking the time to educate themselves against either the left or the right. And I'm not a good Republican, frankly, because there are too many Republicans that are leading us astray just as badly as the Democrats are.
Good point. You know, but I still think that, but see, here's the thing. When you are a pundit or you're out there and you're talking to millions of people, you have the responsibility to do as you say. Learn the Constitution and learn where jurisdiction is. You do have
but
that responsibility, and they don't use that responsibility. They don't.
You have a greater responsibility to check, to fact check everything that you hear from a pundit, no matter which station he's on and no matter what he calls himself, left or right. And that's your responsibility. So don't blame Fox News because they say we're a democracy. Blame yourself if you aren't sure.
Well, I think the thing is when you do know, and you made a good point earlier, when you do know that it's the wrong thing to say, but it's helping your ratings, you know, and I think that, you know, I mean, everything we're saying here is great, and we can take that position in the things that people should be doing their own study and be responsible for understanding the Constitution and who they are. The challenge we've got in reality is that they just aren't. So we have to sort. What's the suggestion on overcoming the mass ignorance that we have about?
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, those of us who aren't ignorant need to be more vocal and need to be more present in educating those who aren't.
Good point.
We need to be out there pointing these things out. It's our responsibility. And, of course, our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they all made comments to the effect that this whole idea, this whole new republic, isn't going to work unless the populace is educated.
Agreed.
You bet. You know, and that's, you know, and that's something to where we have to start that right now. And it goes back, we go back to the beginning of this program when we're talking about two measures that, you know, were important, but we really need to be, and you made a great point, Janet. It isn't so much that people need to educate people, it's people have to take their own initiative. They have to take their own initiative to learn this stuff. What say you?
Well, exactly. And people are we're just too busy. I don't want to go to a meeting after work. I'm tired. I don't want to get involved. I'll just let someone else do that for me. And those are the death knells of a republic. If you want your republic, if you're going to keep your republic, then you have to be involved in your republic. When we were doing the State of Jefferson, how many times did you hear, well, when are you guys going to get the State of Jefferson for us? Oh, I don't know. When are you going to step up and help?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm celebrating a milestone birthday this month, and it's people like I am and you guys are. We're not going to be around forever. Where are the 30 and 40-year-olds who are going to take that baton and continue the relay race?
And where are they getting,
what this is.
Getting the knowledge and understanding of what's been going on and to understand the history, but also figuring out the vision for the future? Where are
That's
they to
right.
do that? You have to do
and
all
our,
that.
Our school system is not helping. So, of course, I am a true devotee of the Constitution of the State of Jefferson. Dump public schools, make them all private, put the responsibility for education in the hands of the parents to make sure their children do not grow up ignorant.
All right. What do you say about, and I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to hear you say it on the air. What do you say about people are saying, well, you know, we have to help those children whose parents aren't engaged in their education and whose parents are, you know, working, and what about the single moms and the single dads? What say you?
Well, let's see. Ben Carson grew up with a single mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sure did hurt his education process, didn't it? She was engaged in it no matter how much money they had or whether or not there was a father in the home. It is the responsibility of parents to make sure that their children are brought up properly. It isn't working now. Public education is not solving the problem of the single parents or the unengaged parents. Just ask any school teacher what the behavior is inside those classrooms. It is abominable. So,
you know this because you're a former school teacher, right? A retired school teacher.
Yes, and things have gotten progressively worse since I retired.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an interesting position because Janet, being a retired school teacher, is advocating for, hey, it needs to go to the private sector and it's the responsibility
yes.
of the parent, which is, you know, and we need to have more of that. I mean, you know, it's the bleeding heart thing to where, oh, we can't just leave these children behind on this stuff. I mean, I guess the thing is, without sounding like mean Mr. Mustard, how is that our responsibility for your children? How is it our responsibility for your children through a public school system? How does that work?
Well, our modern model of public education is relatively new. It's only been around for maybe the last 120 years, less than that. It started when we had a huge immigration influx at the beginning of the 20th century, and we used public education as a way to indoctrinate all of these foreigners into our American way of life.
Hmm.
And I can understand the reasoning why they did it, but it wasn't always for the good. Before that, education was left up to individual communities and families. The town got together and built a schoolhouse and hired a teacher, which in essence is the Patricia Santangelo method of education. It was private education.
Mm-hmm.
She knows about homeschooling, about how mm-hmm. you can do it as a community, not as a public entity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, there's a group called Public School Exit, and I recommend that everybody get on to Public School Exit, publicschoolexit.com. Just go ahead and search engine that. Dren Reese is the person who started that. It's just an absolutely wonderful group of people. Get your kid out of public school. They are creating 501c3s to help folks financially if they need to go to a private school or something. It's a great situation, and I think that. And Janet, you know, you know, again, in looking at reality of all this, and hopefully we get a media that's more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
you're going to get the media that you demand. If you don't watch Fox, if you don't watch CNN and MSNBC, which people have stopped doing in the MSNBC and CNN realm, they're not going to stay in business.
Well, yeah, but
we're the consumers, and we determine what product we're going to buy.
Right, and you're right about that. We have senators, and we have, to your point about being a good Republican, right? We have senators, and we have assembly people in the state, and we have that are quote-unquote Republicans. We have senators in the United States. We have people in Congress that talk about our democracy. I mean, all of them do. And so, in essence, we have to change that narrative, and you're so right. It really is all about we the people. It really is all about we the people becoming educated. And as Thomas Jefferson said, you know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Eternal vigilance, yep.
And you can't, and you can't just put yourself in a position to be that sunshine patriot and say, well, it's okay that Tucker, because he's Tucker, said democracy. It's okay. Because he's Tucker. Did you see Tucker? Did you see Sean? They were so good.
Yeah.
It's democracy in action.
Frankly, I am the summer soldier, but only because in the wintertime I have to huddle and keep warm. But you are right. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot are not going to keep our republic.
No.
But no matter what you call it, it is still a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not of the branches that the people have created. And we need to take it back. But in order to do that, we need to understand what rights we have.
And we have to understand the protocols and the steps in which to take it back.
And what the rules are,
and use the
rules to our benefit.
That's exactly right.
And that Constitution was not written for the government. It was written for the people to use against the government.
That's right.
To bind the government.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing, too. People often think, well, if I just do this one thing, then it's all going to be fixed. That's not the case. It can be a series of events. It has to be, you probably have a series of meetings with other people, and you always want to surround yourself with people brighter than you that are on the right path, and so that way you're always working and getting stronger and getting better. And we don't often see that, especially with our elected officials. You know, they just kind of come in and think they're the brightest one in the room. And when that happens, that's very dangerous because they're not.
As long as you can control them, it doesn't matter, because then you can guide them the way that you think they should be going.
Yeah, to quote Marley.
They represent you. They don't lead you.
Right. Yes. And to quote Marley, I
object to this idea that we have leaders.
They're representatives.
They are not our leaders.
They're not.
They are
exactly
our representatives.
Right.
Yes.
Right. As Marley Hornick said, you know, isn't the government supposed to comply with us? You know, we will not, we shall not comply. Well, isn't the government supposed to comply with us? Isn't the government supposed to submit to us?
Right.
Didn't we delegate their powers to them as the states?
Mm-hmm.
And if the states don't do it, in the 10th Amendment, it clearly says, or the people. And that's where we're at now, folks, we're the people. That's where we're at now. And that's what we've all been talking about today, is it really is up to us. And how that's going to look, and how civil it is, and how it's going to look, is going to really determine on circumstances. I mean, how much more are you willing to take?
Well, and it goes back to learning what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And the whole thing is, our state of California, everybody involved with state of California, they are, I mean, as far as the government part of it, that are running roughshod over us, are using everything against us to their advantage for their power and control, and that's all it's about.
Well, we have about 50 seconds left. Janet, Mama Jay.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in.
You bet. I do have a few opinions.
No, it's awesome.
They're awesome. Thank you, Janet.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Have a cookie for us.
I'm going to go clear the driveway.
There you go.
Well, folks, you know, it really is up to us. It really is up to us to stand, and now's really the time. There is no other situation. You know, we're going to have to split this state. There's nothing else we can do, whether that's 4-3. However it works, we're going to have to do it. And by the way, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCA. Come out and play.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.